this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you today for the privilege that we have of coming together, of worshiping you. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you for your holy word today. We open our hearts to receive it. And we thank you, Father, for a spirit of faith rising up in our hearts today. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul is writing here to the Philippian church and he said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then verse 13, the one that we all know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19 now, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the context in which this promise was given to us. Amen. Now, maybe you've been hearing about, if you watch the news or listen to the news or check the news online on your phone or whatever, you've been hearing, it's almost impossible to avoid hearing about it, about what they're calling the supply chain crisis. Anybody heard about the supply chain crisis? Only about a third of you have? Well, God bless you. Most of you are just living in blissful ignorance then. Now, please understand that ignorance and stupidity are two different things, right? It's not good to be stupid, but sometimes it's good to be ignorant. Amen. Hallelujah. But yeah, they're talking about the supply chain crisis, and what's supposedly created it is all these cargo ships that are loaded with supplies. They're stuck out in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California, waiting for a port to open up so they can deliver their goods. And there's the port, so there's a bottleneck, and supposedly the ports are clogged up because supposedly we don't have enough truck drivers to clear out the ports of the goods that are there so more can be offloaded. Excuse me. But so it's supposedly a crisis and a bad situation, and some they're forecasting, well, you know, you might not be able to get all the stuff for Christmas that you want. And, you know, they're talking about that. And some are even predicting an even worse dire scenario that could result in food shortages, skyrocketing costs for food and other goods. But I want you to know, let me preach it today. but I want you to know that God has a solution to the supply chain crisis. Amen? God has a solution to the supply chain crisis. And it's this. My God shall supply. My God shall supply. Hallelujah. That's our supply chain. Our supply chain is my God shall supply. I don't know if I want any of that stuff that's on those cargo ships anyway if it's coming from China. Did you think about that? I'm sure there's probably stuff that we do need. But our supply chain is my God shall supply. Amen? Why am I putting my trust in a supply chain when God himself has promised to be my supply. Why are you putting your trust in a supply chain, well, a feeble supply chain? They say it's been dysfunctional for years and it's just now catching up. It's what some people are saying. Why should we put our trust in that when our God has promised that He will supply? Amen. Well, Pastor, you know, I mean, that's true spirit. No, all of your need. Amen. All of your need. My God shall supply all your need. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And it's how? As long as the supply chain doesn't break down, my God shall supply all your need. Huh? Now, what's it according to? It's according to His riches and glory. My God shall supply all your need according, not whether or not the supply chain is working or what's going on, or if there's a bottleneck, but according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So point number one in the message today is this. Number one, keep your eyes on God as your source of supply. Let's keep our eyes on God as our source of supply. If we take our eyes off God and get our eyes on a supply chain, or get our eyes on the government, or get our eyes on our job, or get our eyes on an individual, then we're going to be disappointed. We have to keep our eyes on God as our source of supply. Amen? You know, the Lord has a long track record. A long and 100% track record of doing this, of taking care of His people, of providing for His people, of supplying for His people. Amen? We can go all the way back to the book of Genesis, the story of Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph? Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, sold him as a slave. He ends up in Egypt. The king of Egypt was given dreams, cutting right to the chase here. It's a long and wonderful story you can read about in Genesis, starting in chapter 37. But he ends up in Egypt. He gets in all kinds of trouble there, none of it of his own making, but the devil just trying to stop and thwart the plan of God. But Joseph stayed faithful to God, and one day the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, has these dreams. He has these two dreams back to back. He doesn't understand what they mean, doesn't know what they mean. And so Joseph is called. Some of the king's servants remember, hey, there's a guy that I met a couple of years ago down in the prison. He interpreted my dreams. I think he can interpret the dreams. And so Pharaoh called Joseph out of the prison, and Joseph indeed interpreted the dreams. And you know about what the dreams were. The dreams were a warning that a severe famine was going to be coming. And God gave Joseph not only the interpretation of the dream, but God gave him the wisdom to know what to do to prepare for this famine that was coming. Amen. Now, and he did. You know, he said the dream was, you know, the seven good and healthy and fat cows coming up out of the river, and then seven, you know, gaunt and skinny lean cows, and the seven gaunt and lean cows ate up the seven fat cows, and even though they ate up the seven fat cows, they were still gaunt and lean. And then the seven heads of grain, fat and plump, grew up, and then the seven withered grains and blighted by the wind came up and devoured the seven good heads, and they were still withered. So the dream was this, that there was going to be 7 years of plenty. And during that 7 years of plenty, they needed to store up, and which they did. And then after that was going to come 7 years of famine. And so God gave that dream, God gave that wisdom to His man, to His servant, to Joseph, to know what to do and to prepare. And Joseph did that, and God brought deliverance because of that. Now, here's another, just a little side thought in this. We need to be wise, amen. We need, as God leads us, we need to store up, but we do not need to hoard. Hoarding is based out of fear. Amen. There's scripture that talks about that. In fact, the very next verse after our offering this morning, we read Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 for the offering. The very next verse says this in Proverbs 11, 26. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessings will be on the head of him who sells it. So we'll get to the next one yet. I don't know how we got there, but anyway, and maybe I skipped some that I needed to give you. So Joseph did that. Joseph sold the grain. Even though they stored it up, Joseph didn't hoard it for the people of Egypt, did he? What did he do? He began selling it, right? He began selling the grain. He sold the grain. And that's how he was able to get reunited with his family. Because the report came down to the land of Canaan, where Jacob was living, Joseph's father and Joseph's brothers and all their family. The report came that there was grain in Egypt. And the famine was in all of that region of the world. And so they went down to Egypt. And that's how they were able to reconnect and reunite with Joseph. And God brought a great restoration there in their family. The brothers end up coming to Egypt. The family is reunited. Jacob discovered that his long-lost son that he thought was dead was alive. And so the family moved down to Egypt to be with Joseph. And then Jacob lived a little bit longer. But then after he died, you remember his brothers were afraid. Okay, Joseph's, you know, just been holding off here, but now that daddy's dead, Joseph is going to exact revenge on us for doing what we did to him, for selling him as a slave, and causing him to get in all this trouble in Egypt. And so they came to him. They said, "Please, please have mercy on us. Please, you know, we're so sorry for what we did." And here's Joseph's response in Genesis 50. Do we have that one? Did I give you that? Yeah. In Genesis 50, verse 19, Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about as it is this day to save many people alive." Hallelujah. I believe God has his Josephs today. I believe God has his people strategically placed today. Hallelujah. To save and to provide for God's people, no matter what may come. Amen. Hallelujah. To save many people alive, Joseph said. "Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." Hallelujah. I believe God has his people like Joseph strategically placed throughout the world today, in strategic positions, and that the body of Christ, if we'll trust God, God's going to use people like that, and we're going to be taken care of, and our little ones. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Bible says he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Amen. Let's move on and let's track this. Again, God's record of providing for his people. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" And so Elijah is a prophet in that day, and there is a drought that came. And then verse 2 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook.'" And now notice this phrase, "And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Hallelujah. So point number 2 this morning is this. Be in the place that God tells you to be. In order for God to be our source of supply, in order for us to bypass or supersede the supply chain crisis or any other crisis that may come, we need to be in the place that God has told us to be in. Amen. God told him specifically where to go. He said, "Go and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." And he says, "You can drink from the brook. There's still going to be water there." There's a lot of places in this time that the brooks and the streams had dried up. But he said, "You know, if you'll go over to the brook Cherith, the water's still flowing there. You'll have water to drink." And by the way, he said, "I'm going to make a delivery for you. I'm going to have the ravens to provide for you there." Amen. the ravens would feed him. God told him specifically where to go, and he said, the ravens will feed you there. Verse 5, so he went and did. Everybody say, he went and did. That ought to be our nickname. That ought to be your nickname. Brother went and did. Sister went and did. Hallelujah. What does that mean? It means that God speaks, that God gives us direction, and we don't just sit around and say, oh, well, that's nice. I'm glad God spoke to me. But we go and do it. We go and act on it. Amen. We go and do what God said. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Rodney Howard Brown said a hamburger. Bread and meat. I mean, how else will you just, what else? A sandwich anyway, right? Brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So twice a day, sure enough, every morning, every evening, the ravens brought him a meal. Hallelujah. See, they were going to deliver food to that place. They were commanded by God. God said, I've commanded the ravens. Think about that. God can command ravens. Is he the same today? Can he still do that today? I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Well, what if Elijah hadn't been there? He would have missed his burgers twice a day. Right? Huh? Elijah would say, well, wait a minute, Lord. I decided it's nicer over here. Better neighborhood. You know, I like this place over here better. No, well, the burgers were coming over there. Amen. So point number two, again, be in the place that God tells you to be in. What's God told you to do? Where's God told you to serve? What's God called you to do? Be there. Amen. Be in the place God's called you to be in and God tells you to be in. Praise God. All right. And so, So what happens next is the river or the stream dries up, and so we'll move forward here into 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 8. And it says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded. Notice there's that phrase again. God says, I've commanded. Amen. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. First of all, he's commanding ravens to bring him food, to bring him bread and meat. Now, he's commanding a widow to provide for him. Praise God. And so it was time to move on. That channel dried up. The brook dried up eventually. And so when that brook dried up, then God said, okay, don't fear. It doesn't mean I'm not going to take care of you. You just need to move to this next place I've told you to move to. I want you to go to Zarephath, which is in Sidon, and dwell there. And there's a widow there that I've commanded to provide for you. Praise God. So verse 10, it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. Now I'm sure, you know, Elijah, as he comes walking into town, you know, you ever go drive into there's some towns around here. Norcross is one. If you go drive into downtown Norcross or the old city, you see all these nice, beautiful homes, or used to be. It's been a long time since I've driven through there. These beautiful homes. Go into some, you know, small towns here in the South, and you see these, you know, mansions that were built in the late 1800s, and still some towns that still are there, and they've been restored, and just beautiful. I'm sure as he's walking into Zarephath, he's thinking, now which one of these mansions this wealthy widow lives in? Huh? I don't know if he was or not. That's what I would have been looking for, because my mind would have been thinking, okay, if God's got a widow to provide for me, she must be independently wealthy. Right? Well, I would have been thinking that way. And so he comes in and he sees a widow, and she's out, instead of her servants out doing stuff for her, she's out gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. So he says, well, maybe this is the one. I'm going to give her a little test here. Hey, would you go get me some water? And of course, she goes and gets the water. So he says, this must be the one. She's going to get me some water. All right. She must be the one that God has commanded to provide for me. So she goes to get the water. And as she was going, verse 11, and as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, by the way, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Now, so she responds to that in verse 12. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. He's thinking, oops, maybe this is not the right one. Maybe I need to look for another widow here. I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. So apparently she had not gotten the memo from the Lord that she was supposed to provide for Elijah the prophet. Right? God said, I've already commanded her, but apparently she hadn't gotten that command yet. She wasn't there waiting for him, and she didn't. When he came walking into town, she didn't say, oh, you're Elijah the prophet. I've been waiting on you to get here. Come on, I've got a meal cooked for you. No, quite the opposite. She said, I don't have any bread. I've just got a little handful of meal, a little bit of oil in a jar, and I'm gathering these sticks. I'm going to make one last meal for my son and for myself, that we may eat it and die. Either she thought she didn't trust her own cooking, or what she was expressing was, this is our last meal. This is the last food that we have. All right. So she hadn't gotten the memo that she was a chosen vessel commanded by God to provide for Elijah. And looking at the circumstances, she looked like the least likely candidate, didn't she? Amen? Don't miss this. Amen? Thank God Elijah was not moved. He didn't say, oh, well, let's try somebody else. He wasn't moved. Look at how he responded here. Notice his first words in verse number 13. And Elijah said to her, say it with me, do not fear. Hallelujah. Do not fear. Praise God. That's point number three this morning. Do not fear. Everybody say it again. Do not fear. Turn to your neighbor. Look him in the eye. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and look him in the eye and say it. Do not fear. Let's do it again. Keep looking at your neighbor in the eye. Say it, or find another neighbor and look him in the eye. Here we go. Do not fear. Amen. Do we need to do it again? I think one more time. Look at somebody. Come on. Come on. Do not fear. All right. Amen. This is hugely important. With all that's been going on in our world, especially these last 2 years, Satan's been working overtime to try to get people to live in absolute fear. Amen. What does fear do? Fear robs you of faith. Fear causes you to make bad decisions. You know, if you've seen that, what is that commercial for? Have you seen the commercial it's what you do? It's an insurance. I think it's Geico, maybe. And I guess they brought it out because Halloween's coming up. But it's the young people, and they're running from the monster or the bad guy in the horror movie, and they said, oh, let's, you know, the girl says, let's go get in the running car. Yeah. Have you seen that? You know, and the guy beside says, are you crazy? You know, let's go over here and hide behind these chainsaws. Says, when you're in fear, you make bad decisions. That's what you do. So all right. And fear does that. Fear causes you to make bad decisions, doesn't it? A lot of folks have been making bad decisions because of fear. Don't yield to fear. The first thing Elijah said to this woman was, do not fear. Amen. Don't yield to fear and don't spread fear. Amen. Let's take heed. Let's be careful that we don't spread fear. Amen. I got this. I wrote, I had more. And I wrote it all down, and I meant to bring it this morning, and I left it, but I remembered this part. I woke up early this morning. Now, full disclosure, I did go back to sleep after I woke up, so it's not like, oh, pastor gets up at 4 a.m. and prays after sleeping 3 hours. No, I did go back to sleep, but I woke up about 5 o'clock, and these words came to me. Take heed to what you hear. I believe inspired by the Spirit. Take heed to what you hear, for the things you hear produce faith or lead you into fear. Amen. Take heed to what you hear, for the things you hear produce faith or lead you into fear. I'll bring the rest of it next Sunday and read it all to you. I believe it's a psalm that the Lord gave me. But don't yield to fear. Don't spread fear. So Elijah said to the woman, do not fear. Go and do, as we continue in verse 13, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. Praise God. There's a promise now. There's a word now. And she's got a decision if she's going to believe it, if she's going to believe what the prophet says, or if she's going to believe her present circumstances. And it's the same thing with us today. We can believe what God says, or we can look at our circumstances and believe our circumstances. That's always the challenge that we're faced with. Amen? Now, she'd passed the first test, like I told you. She went and got the water. That was pretty easy. There was still water in the city, and she was able to get the water. But now this second thing that he was asking her to do, now that was going to require some faith. Huh? Yes. Amen? He says, don't fear. Go and do what you've said. Go and bake that cake. Go and gather the sticks. Go and bake the cake. But by the way, bring me one first. And she's thinking, wait a minute, what do you mean bring you one first? There's only have enough for one. Didn't you hear me? You know, she didn't say this, but she's probably thinking, didn't this guy hear me? I told him that I've got enough for one, and I'm going to make it for me and my son, and we're going to eat it and die. Didn't he hear me about that? He says, go and do what you've said. Go ahead and make the cake, but go ahead and make me one first. Ooh. That was going to take some faith, wasn't it? Amen. But she didn't reason that away. She, you know what she decided to do? She decided to believe God. She decided to accept the word of the Lord over her present circumstances and what they were telling her. Thank God. So she went away and did. Her sister went and did. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. What did she do? She went and baked him one first. And to her amazement, after she got through baking that one, there was still some meal and there was still some oil. And so she and he and her household ate for many days. What is that? That's God supplying. That's God supplying when it looks like there's no source of supply out there. Hallelujah. That's what God does. Amen. That's how he operates. Praise God. Another miracle of provision here. Despite the supply chain of that day being disrupted by the drought and by the famine, God supernaturally provided for Elijah, for the woman, for her son, and their household. Amen? So that brings us to point number 4 this morning. Don't stop giving. Don't stop giving. So this is closely connected to point 3. Point 3 was about fear. You get into fear, and one of the first things that we have a tendency to do is stop giving. Well, I better hold on to this. Well, I might not have enough. Well, I better quit tithing. Well, I better not give. No, don't stop giving. What if this woman had said, well, listen, I better hold on to this. Well, she's going to eat it and die. What good? What'd she have to lose? Amen. What do you have to lose by giving to God? Nothing. Amen. But everything to gain. Amen. We get into fear. We hear bad news about what may come in the future. And our first reaction often is, well, we better hold on to this. We better look out for ourselves first. Amen. Elijah made it a point to tell the woman, make me a cake first. Was he being selfish? No. What was he doing? He was obeying God. This wasn't his idea. God said, I've commanded this woman to provide for you. So he thought, okay, if God's commanded her to provide for me, then she needs to make me one first. Amen. And he told her to do that. And what was this? This was God's way of setting her up for a miracle of provision. Amen. Perhaps God has commanded you to be a part of the supply chain, a part of His supernatural supply chain in these days. Got real quiet in here. I was hoping for a better amen than that. Perhaps God's commanded you. Amen. So, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm not in a position. Neither was she. Neither was she. She was least likely. She was least likely. Somebody, I used to hear people say, if God can get it through you, He can get it to you. Amen. If He can get it through you, if you'll be part of the supply chain, if you'll give, if you'll not withhold out of fear, if He can get it through you, He can get it to you. Amen. So, Pastor, you want to take up another? No, no, listen, I'm not taking up another offering today. This is not about that. This is about helping you. This is about helping you to walk in faith and victory and have provision through whatever may come, if it's a supply chain crisis or whatever may be happening. Amen? Hallelujah. So this was God setting her up for a miracle of provision. Hallelujah. And when she stepped into that role of being one to provide for Elijah, she was provided for herself. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. It says, and in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Look at verse 29. Then the disciples decided that they were going to go out and buy up all the toilet paper, paper towels, hand sanitizer, and dried beans. Did it say that? And hoard everything they could and hunker down, baby. Huh? What did it say they did? Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined. Everybody say determined. Determined to send. Woo! Instead of determining to hoard, they were full of faith. They determined to send. What about that? What about their first reaction? They determined to send relief to their brethren dwelling in Judea. Apparently the famine and the situation was going to be more dire there first. And they said, well, we're going to be proactive here. We're going to give. We're going to send. Amen. Hallelujah. They determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, this is the same offering that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and also over into 2 Corinthians. If you read 1 Corinthians 16:1, it begins this way. Now concerning the collection for the saints in Jerusalem, something like that. And then in 2 Corinthians he talks about, which we're going to pick up in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. He says, and now brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Now, who were the Macedonian churches? Where was Macedonia? What city was Macedonia? Does anybody know? Philippi. Philippi. What book of the Bible did we start with this morning? Philippians. Paul was writing to the Philippians, who were the same as this group right here. He's mentioning the Macedonian churches. That was the believers in Philippi. Look it up. Read it. And you'll find that Paul had the vision in the night. A man of Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Remember reading that in the book of Acts? And where do they go? They go to the city of Philippi. You know, Alexander the Great's father was Philip of Macedonia. Did you know that? Well, a little history lesson there. All right. And so the city of Philippi was named after Philip. It was in Macedonia. And so when Paul mentions Macedonia, he's talking about the Philippians. And what did he tell the Philippians? He says, God's going to supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All right. So now he's talking about them here. He says, now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Look at verse 2. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And so the believers in Philippi, they were going through a very severe trial in their financial situation, in their economic situation. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians to motivate them to give like the Philippians had given. All right? And he says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. Paul didn't coerce them. Paul didn't manipulate them. That's all wrong. We don't believe in that. We've never practiced that here. Amen. Hope you can testify to that. Entirely on their own. They got motivated by God. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. So when Paul went there to Philippi and they knew they were taking up this relief offering, Paul really didn't even mention it there. And they said, what do you mean? Aren't you going to say something about the offering? Aren't you going to give us an opportunity to give? And Paul said, well, no, I wasn't going to even mention it to you. I know you guys have had such a hard time yourself. I wasn't even going to mention it. And they said, you better give us an opportunity to give. You better give us an opportunity to get blessed. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave them, look at this, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. Hallelujah. Again, this is talking about the Philippians, the Macedonian churches. And Paul says they gave beyond their ability. Hallelujah. How do you do that? How do you give beyond your ability? Well, I don't know, but when you purpose to be a giver, then God will make a way. Again, if he can get it through you, he can get it to you. If your purpose, hey, I'm gonna be part of God's supply chain. Ha ha. I'm going to be a part of God's supply chain. Hallelujah. The water, you know, the pipe that the water's running through gets wet, doesn't it? Isn't that right? Amen. If you'll be a pipe that you let God's provision flow through, then you're going to get wet with provision yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. But look at what it says here. It says, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. That's what their giving was birthed out of that. And our giving will be a reflection of how completely we have given ourselves to the Lord. Our giving will be a reflection of how completely we have given ourselves to the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Now, let's go on to 2 Corinthians 9. Paul's still writing about this as we get into chapter 9. And he says this in verse 10. He says, now may he who, what's the next word? Supplies. He who supplies. supplies. Who is he who supplies? God, our Father, the Lord. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Hallelujah. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower. What does he supply? Don't miss this now. He doesn't just supply our needs. He doesn't just supply our provision. But there's a way that he does that. He supplies us with seed. And who does he supply seed to? The sower. So if we're not going to sow, then he's not going to supply seed. But if he sees that we're going to be sowers, then he's going to supply seed. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. How do you get bread for food? By sowing seed. What will he do? Supply and multiply. Everybody say supply and multiply. Hallelujah. Our God is the one who supplies and our God is the one who multiplies. What does he multiply? The seed you have sown. So if we don't sow any seed, we don't give him anything to multiply. But if we'll give, then we've given him something to multiply. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, he supplies both. And he'll supply and multiply the seed that you've sown, and he'll increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11, and Reed, come on up if you would. Verse 11, while you are enriched in what? One translation said, you will be made rich in all things so that you can be generous on every occasion. The New King James here says, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality. Another word for liberality is generosity. Hallelujah. God says if we'll get into this flow with him of being in his supply chain, of being a sower of seed, and then him multiplying that seed back to us, he's going to enrich us in everything so that for all generosity. So we can be generous, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. What's going to happen if the natural supply chain opens up? Oh, and I'm praying for that to happen too. I'm coming in the devil to take his hands off of that, not disrupt our economy. So there's that side of it. But who gets glory when something supernatural happens? Who got glory when Joseph was positioned there in Egypt to implement that great plan of deliverance through the famine? God got glory. Who got glory with Elijah and the widow? God got glory. Amen? And who gets glory when we operate in God's system, God's supply chain? God gets glory, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Jesus talked about these supply chain issues as well. In Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6 verse 8 he says this. He says, for your Father knows. Everybody say, my Father knows. What does he know? He knows the things that we have need of even before we ask him. He knows. It's not like God's up there in heaven and is just totally detached from our world down here. And when we come to him, well, Lord, don't you know there's a supply chain crisis? It's not like, well, that doesn't concern me. No, he knows the things that we have need of, even before we ask him. He's a good father. He is a good father. He knows what we need, even before we ask him. And then verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, get verse 11 up there for me, Gray. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus made it really simple, didn't he? Give us this day our daily bread. Hallelujah. He said, trust God for daily provision. Don't worry about what may happen with the supply chain 3 months out, 6 months out, next year, or what else may come. Now, again, I'm not saying don't, you know, as God leads you, certainly, prepare, store up, save, whatever, however God leads you to do that. But make sure you're doing it in faith. Make sure you're doing it at the leading of the Spirit and not just like, oh, no, this is what I heard on the news today. I better rush out and, you know, do this. No, do it based on what God leads you to do. Don't get in fear. Don't, for whatever you do, don't stop giving. Amen. Hallelujah. Then later in the chapter, Jesus says this in verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. All those things are in the supply chain, aren't they? What you will eat, what you will drink, what you'll put on. What does Jesus say for us to do about it? Don't worry about it. Do not worry about your life. You're talking about, I'm talking about your natural life here. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, or your body, what you'll put on. Don't worry about it. Amen. I think we need to do another exercise like we did earlier with do not fear. Turn to your neighbor and say, do not worry. Do not worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink. Or your clothing. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what? All these things shall be added to you. I don't see any asterisk there. Do you? I don't see any little footnote mark there, you know, with a disclaimer in small print at the bottom. Unless, of course, there's a supply chain crisis with cargo ships stranded out in the Pacific Ocean, unable to unload their cargo. No. I don't see an expiration date stamped on that verse. This offer expired in 32 AD. No. Still good. It's still good. Everybody say, it's still good. It's still true. Amen. Hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. You know, Pastor, what they're saying about Christmas. I would classify that as tomorrow. Well, you know, Pastor, what they're saying about it's going to get really bad the first quarter of next year. It's going to be a dark winter. Do not worry about tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, this is not to say, oh, well, we don't need to go, you know, store up anything. I'm not saying don't do that. Again, as the Lord leads you, do what you what you're led to do, but don't fear, don't worry. Amen. Who's our source? Who's the one who supplies? God. My God shall supply. Hallelujah. My God shall supply. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Let tomorrow. Verse 34 there, Grayson, if you get that up. Did I give you 34? I'm sorry. I cut you off at 33. I did. I see that now, right here in my notes. Therefore, do not worry. Thank you so much. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Hallelujah. If you're worrying, you're paying interest on trouble that may never come. Amen. That's like paying interest on money you may never borrow. That's foolish, isn't it? Don't worry. Don't get in fear. We've got a God who knows how to provide for His people. He's been doing it a long time, and He'll do it for His people today. Amen. Let's stand up and praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and just begin to praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Lord, you are good. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you, Lord. We just purpose today that we're going to be a, Lord, we're going to be a part of the supply chain. Hallelujah. The supernatural supply chain. The divine supply chain. God's supply chain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like you commanded that widow to provide for Elijah, Lord, you may command us to provide for others in the days ahead. Lord, we step into the assignment. Lord, we accept the mission. Hallelujah. We accept the assignment in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that we'll live above what's happening in this world system, that we'll live on your system, that we'll live according to your plan, because you said you would supply all of our need according to your riches. According to your riches. And there's no bottleneck of your riches. There's no clogging of the supply chain of your riches. Hallelujah. You supply all of our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This just came to me as I was declaring that and saying that. If there is a clog in the divine supply chain, command the devil to take his hands off. Go get that book. We've got a little book. It's $1.50. And all the people said, what a deal. $1.50, but it could be worth thousands of dollars to you. It's called How God Taught Me About Prosperity by Dad Hagen. I've shared this before. But he went out. He'd been pastoring for 12 years. And the last church he pastored took care of him well, paid him a decent salary, furnished a home for them, for his family to live in. Church members were bringing food over for him all the time. Anytime he and his wife would go to a conference or convention, they would buy him a new suit, buy her a new dress. You know, he was really in a good place financially. And then God began to deal with him about going out into traveling ministry. And he did that. He obeyed the Lord and he did that. And all of a sudden now he doesn't have a parsonage to live in. He's got to come up with his own, you know, rent for a place to live. All of a sudden he doesn't have a regular income. He's dependent on the offerings that he gets in the churches where he goes to preach. All of a sudden the church isn't buying extra stuff for his family or paying for or buying clothing and for him and his wife, things like that. All of a sudden that's not happening anymore. And after the first year, he saw that he'd been much better off staying at his church, pastoring his church. And he said, I put all my figures out before the Lord. He said, I showed him, he said, my kids were not being adequately fed or clothed. And we were just really suffering financially. And God told him, he said, first of all, he gave him the scriptures that if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And he said, Lord, I obeyed you. He said, I wanted to stay here. I was comfortable in my church, pastor in my church, but you told me to go. And so I obeyed you. And the Lord said, well, you don't qualify. He said, because that scripture says if you're willing and obedient. He said, you might have been obedient, but you were not willing. He said, I just made that adjustment really quick right there. And I got willing. He said, all right, Lord, I'm willing. Now, I know you know I'm willing. I know I'm willing, and the devil knows I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm ready now to eat the good of the land. And the Lord said, there's one more thing. He said, don't pray about money anymore. He said, at least not the way you've been praying. And he said, we would beg and cry and bawl and squall, and he said, somehow make it through. But he said, don't pray like that. Don't pray about money the way you've been praying. He said, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, first of all, he said, the money you need is down there on the earth. It's not up here in heaven. He said, if I were to send you money from heaven, I'd have to counterfeit it, and I'm not a counterfeiter. The money you need is down there. And he said, Satan is the god of this world. And it's Satan that's trying to withhold and trying to hinder. And he says, so first of all, he said, claim whatever you need or want. He said, well, Lord, I can believe you that you'll meet my needs, but my wants. He said, did you never read in my word? And that the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Claim whatever you need or want. And then he said, second of all, then do this. He said, see, it's Satan that's withholding. He said, I'm not withholding adequate food and clothing from your children. That's not me. That's the devil. So if there is a clog in the divine supply chain, here's what you do. He said, claim whatever you need or want, and then command Satan to take his hands off that money. Go ahead and claim it, name the amount, and then say, Satan, take your hands off my money. Take your hands off that money. Because it's Satan trying to withhold from you, not me. And then say this. Say, go, ministering spirits. Cause the money to come. He said, what do you mean by that, Lord? He said, well, did you not read in my word that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation? Satan doesn't do all the evil work. He's got demons and evil spirits that influence people to steal, to lie, to do bad things. He said, in the same way, he said, the Holy Spirit, he said, the angels are working. So it's not just the Holy Spirit, but the angels are working. And when you say, go, ministering spirits, cause the money to come, he said, the angels are going to speak to people and they're going to influence people for good. Hallelujah. So the Lord directed him to share that revelation. He said, it's not just for you. He said, but it's for the whole body of Christ. It's for the whole church. Amen. So you can get all the details. I just gave you the highlights there, the cliff notes. But you get the whole, and it's a little book. You know, you can read it in 30 minutes probably, read through the whole thing. But it could be worth thousands of dollars to you. Praise God. And praise the Lord. So that's our supply chain. Amen. Our divine supply chain. God supplies all our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you for blessing your people. Oh, thank you for revelation today, Father. Thank you for speaking to us, for preparing us in the name of Jesus. We're prepared in faith for whatever the days may bring. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for the answer that's in your word. We thank you, Father, for the solution that we found in your word today, Father. We receive it and we purpose, Lord, to walk in it. And we purpose, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.